is the Under Center Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Under Center Podcast. Dara here with you, of course, and I'm delighted to be joined by the Malloy brothers this week, both Rian and Fionn. Boys, how are we?
Pleasure as always, Dara. Yeah, in good form, coming into the close of the season, a lot of exciting things to look forward to, and a lot of good stuff to chat about.
Yeah, the eagle-eyed amongst our fans will have noticed that I haven't been on the podcast the last couple of weeks, and that is because I bought myself a brand new house. Well, not brand new, but it's been a whirlwind. But I'm back. I'm committed to the Under Center Podcast like never before.
Well, congratulations on that, Rian. Fionn, who had exactly 30 seconds into the podcast before Rian would mention he bought himself a house.
Yeah, and it just sounds like an excuse to me, Dara, as well.
Yeah. Look, we all have lives going on, man. We still make that time. Unlike other shows who couldn't do that. But that's the only thing. That's the only time I'll make reference to that.
Oh,
sorry. Low-hanging fruit had to be said. I'm only going to say it once. I'm sorry. I like all the guys. Very sorry to hear that what has happened, and hopefully things can be amended and they can get back at some stage. It looks like three of them are going to, and which is great. But that's the only mention I'm gonna make of it. Done. That's it. This week on the show, we are focusing our attentions on the Dublin Rhinos, and joining us, we are delighted to welcome head coach of the Rhinos. That is, of course, David Hosford. David, how are you, sir?
Not too bad now. How are you, lads?
Melting away very slowly.
That's pretty much where I am in life right now. It's this constant layer of sweat that's on me. It's just not good.
How were we ever built to deal with the sun before? We always try and go away on sun holidays and we complain about it the whole time as well. That's always too hot. And now the sun has come to us and we just can't hack it.
No. We're not built for it. We're built for complaining and light rain. We're not built for anything else. This is not good enough.
Yeah, exactly. No,
how can we have good weather and still manage to whinge? Like, come on, we have to be happy about something in this country.
It's our nature. See, that's what we do.
Yeah, see, look, if it stays in the teens, it's fine. But when it goes past that 20 degrees, that's when we start complaining. It's too hot at that stage.
Yeah, well, look, we knew all about that at training on Sunday, Dara. You doing your laps out in the sun? Yeah, we heard all about it.
Yeah. And having to actually do some proper running with the pads and everything like that. Just now, like us linemen aren't meant to be running like that. We're not built for it at all.
Built for it,
and
no,
adding
Dara,
pads and thing.
You wouldn't be built for it. Not
no,
in this heat, anyway.
Be. No,
you're more not an even insulated in, man, shall we say.
Even in the cold, I'm not built for it, let alone the heat. But look, listen, less about me and my obvious size. Thanks for that, Fionn. Make me feel a little bit self-conscious about that. But we're here to focus on the Rhinos today. And a huge game coming up this Sunday, of course. Heading up north to take on the Vipers in a game that you guys must win to stand a chance getting into the playoffs this year. Obviously, you'll need the Razorbacks to lose to the Mavericks. But how has the camp been this week, sort of getting ready for the game, sort of mentally and stuff like that, knowing what is on the line?
Yeah, the lads are in good form, surprisingly, considering, you know, I suppose the last two games they've lost two heartbreakers. So, but they're surprisingly upbeat. They're ready to go. They know what they have to do, I suppose, is the main thing. They know, look, a lot of it is out of our hands. But all we can do is focus on our own game. So I suppose that takes the little bit of pressure off. So you have to go give a good account of yourselves and see where we are at 5 o'clock on Sunday, I suppose, is the job at hand.
Yeah, will you be Will you be keeping an eye on what's happening in Louth during the game, or will you just try and get the lads to focus on their own
job? I'll absolutely tell you right now, I will not be looking at the score in Louth whatsoever, and then 2 o'clock will come and my phone won't be out of my hand. So unless we start going down ourselves, in which case the phone might be launched somewhere in Derry and I won't care what's happening in Louth. So,
to be fair, I love the honesty, because you always hear that with, football fans would obviously, last day of the season, if you're going to make relegation, you're going to win the league, will you be keeping an eye on the score? And every manager or something will say, no, focus on their own jobs. Bullshit. They are always, if they're not watching the phone, they have someone behind them, an assistant, being like, it's 1-0 at the moment, or like this, maybe on Sunday, the Mavericks just scored or something. You said definitely keep an eye on the score.
We have a couple of injured players travelling with us, and one of them is absolutely going to be detailed with following the Mavs game and keep me up to date. We do have our own job and I focus on our own job, but if we're doing our job and we're up, that's when you start focusing on Twitter or on Instagram and start hunting people for updates. But again, all of it's futile if we don't go up and do our job, so...
David, building off that a little bit, and we spoke, Darren mentioned how the camp is feeling here ahead of the game. How are you feeling as the season progressed? Are you a little bit surprised to be in the position you're in? I managed to ref one of your games. You're playing great football this season. We see on the ticker going down in a very stacked Division One. You have kept every single game close, and as you mentioned, the last 2 weeks on the painful end of nail-biting finishes. How have you assessed the team? Fantastic performance by the team, beating a lot of good teams around you as well. So how have you felt the season's gone?
I'd be lying if I said it's gone the way I thought it would. We've a very talented team. The talent is absolutely there. And, I suppose at times we've made silly mistakes and put ourselves behind, especially the first game of the season against Limerick. I suppose we... special teams mess ups kind of put us in a hole early on. Overall, I'd be lying if I said I'm happy with it, but I am happy with how the team has progressed. I suppose, a couple of plays here and there, and we're probably sitting here talking about us getting ready for playoffs already. So you can't really argue with it, and you can't be too hard on the lads. We've a number of rookies on the team as well that, are getting up to speed and getting great game time and making big plays for us. But again, I suppose, you make the silly mistakes we've made, you don't win games, and that's borne out. I suppose, the constant refrain the last couple of weeks from a couple of the lads around the camp is, we've lost 5 games by a combined 24 points, and it's, I think in one of the groups there today, one of the lads pointed out, we've a plus 58 points difference, but we're 2-5. It's frustrating, but also, I suppose, looking at the bigger picture, you can't be too upset. I just won't publicly say it. Well,
of course you can be more. Yeah, if you want to publicly say it, go ahead. This is your hour now here to let it go.
This is my counseling session. Overall, again, you'd obviously rather be 5-2 than 2-5, but look, we have a chance, and that's all we can ask for at the moment. So,
yeah, and it has been sort of very tough, like we said, Fionn mentioned, very tough game. Sort of the home and away slate of games that you've gotten in terms of the teams that you've faced twice were probably the two teams that are up there as well at the top of the division. So they were probably the two toughest ones you could have asked for. Because I'm sure you would have swapped one of the Vikings games for, say, another Jets game or a Vipers game for sure,
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a tough schedule, but I suppose at the same time, we knew that at the outset. The first game against Limerick, I felt we were a little undercooked going into it. We grew into it. And then the first game against the Crusaders, we started to move the ball very well. And then our quarterback goes down and his season's over mid-game. And that kind of, I won't say we felt sorry for ourselves for a quarter and a half, but we stopped playing for for a quarter and a half and, you know, made some silly mistakes and put ourselves in a hole, and that bears out the result there. And then, you know, you're on to you're building a second string quarterback who'd never played the position before, and, you know, and you still come down to a play against the Mavericks and a play against the Crusaders that could flip your schedule and make it a different season. Yeah, look, I won't be making excuses around the strength of schedule at all. Look, we were the eighth best team in Ireland last year by ranking. I mean, we didn't play like the eighth best team in Ireland, but, you know, by ranking, we were the eighth best team. So we should have, I suppose, at the outset, we probably should have had a better season than we've had. But here we are where we are.
You probably won't look this far ahead, but I imagine in the back of your mind, and maybe you won't want to answer this right now and you'll wait and see how the results pan out, but it's got to be encouraging to have, okay, one score losses, but two of those teams you just mentioned are going to be in the playoffs. And I assume that even as a fourth seed, should you make it, you're going to have high, high hopes at introducing one, if not many, upsets into this Division One playoffs.
Yeah, like, I suppose, as I said earlier, around the talent in the team, I'd back our guys against anybody. And, you know, that's why I suppose that the Crusaders lost there two weeks ago was so heartbreaking, as the lads put everything into it. And, you know, I do feel if we got a second crack at the Mavs or Limerick or the Crusaders, like, we definitely push them all the way here. But again, I suppose, you know, I don't want to look too far ahead, because we've got a big day on Sunday, and, you know, the Razorbacks are really starting to put together a few results. So, you know, that's a big fear there, is that, you know, they go down to Loud on Sunday, and, you know, there's nothing we can do then. So yeah, so won't look too far ahead.
And just for yourself personally there, David, as well, this is, I believe, sort of your first season as head coach of the Rhinos. Obviously, last year it was Steve O'Rourke, actually friend of the show as well, who was in charge, and unfortunately he had to step away. How have you found being the head coach there this year?
I'll keep it clean. It's tough. It's a huge job, I suppose. Look, I'll tell anyone that listens, I'd never planned to be in this position in any way, shape, or form. Or a kind of a bit in Rhino's tradition, it fell in my lap in September last year. And then I suppose, look, Steve stayed on as OC as long as he could, and then he had to step away. So we've been kind of chopping and changing a small bit there for a little while. So that's been a bit difficult. We now have Ross Carrick back in as OC, and, you know, despite the results, I'm really happy with how the offense is ticking, especially with a brand new QB. But yeah, it's been a tough slog. It's been a massive learning curve around how to manage people in a sporting context. It's like the different personalities on the team and how to try and get the best out of, like, I suppose, I'm what now nearly 8 or 9 months into the job, and I'm still trying to work out how to get the best out of some of them, how to get through to them.
You're saying some of the lads are giving you a bit of a hard time, David.
All I'm saying is, I just don't know how to tell them, walking up the train in 15 minutes, it drives me bananas. There's only so many different ways I can put it.
Suddenly, when it starts costing them legs, that's when they'll start doing
that's pretty much where I've got to the last couple of weeks. Is, all right, you're late, let's go running, lads. You know, despite my physique, I do like a bit of running. So, you know, come, let's go running. You know, but yeah, that sort of thing. Finding the balance there around, you know, how to put the arm around some guy and shout at a different guy is difficult, but it's been fun. I have to say now, I've enjoyed it more than I thought I did, because last September when I walked in first, I was like, oh, what have I done? Like the amount of time it takes and that, but it's been fun. It's been fun. So.
Excellent. Well, look, listen, you're not the only one that has to deal with late players and stuff like that for training. You're not the only team, so don't be worrying about that.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
I've taken over a coaching role in the Pirates, and I tried fining the lads, but we don't pay them, so they won't pay anything back. There's no paycheck to take anything out of.
Yeah, and all you're doing is adding a new headache to chase money now. That's like, that's not working. Yeah. So,
definitely not. We sort of glossed over the season as a whole, but there's two games in particular I want to sort of have a look at. And first one is the Vikings game at home, where a flash thunderstorm came along and absolutely decimated that pitch. And the pictures went viral of it as well. Just take us back to that day and even your thoughts about when it was absolutely pouring down with rain, thinking, are we even going to get this game done?
That game was the weirdest game I've ever been involved in, because I was leaving for the game around about quarter past 11. I was leaving the house for the game. And I got a phone call to say that the Vikings bus had broken down. So that starts the day. Now, at that stage, I was outside putting sun cream on me because it was so warm. And, you know, it was absolutely glorious. You get up there, you get the pitch set up, the lads arrive. We do our warm-up, they do their warm-up. The coin toss. Pitch is perfect. There is not, like, the sun is splitting the stones. We line up for kickoff, and then suddenly it is a thunderstorm. It is more rain than I've ever seen fall in my life. The pitch goes brown. It's like a game plan we had around, you know, hard running all day is gone, because I've honestly never seen it in a game of American football before, where the whole game was centered on this 120-meter stretch. We'd punt it out of it. The Vikings would run it back into that spot. They'd go 4-0. They'd punt it out of it. We'd get it back into that spot. We'd go 4-0. It was absolutely incredible. It was like, I remember at one stage, Ross, our offensive coordinator, came over to me and go, just like, if we can just punt the ball down into the green stuff, we might be able to do something. Just came straight back. It just came straight back to that 120-meter stretch of just muck. It was, So your thoughts that time are, you know, I suppose it's one that... It's one of the few times where you're standing on the sideline going, I just don't have an answer. I don't know what to do here, because can't run in, can't pass it. Like, we gave up pick six on our first drive, and sure, you're chasing a 7-0 deficit then throughout the game. You can't move the ball. So, that was one of the moments where you're just like, I don't even know what to say here. I'd family at the game and everything, where it, you know, they're hiding under the trees. They're like, oh, what score is it? I was like, stay under the tree. Don't even come out. it's not worth it. That was an experience. And strangely, not the first time that's happened to us. We played the Knights in a preseason friendly before, where, again, it started beautifully and we got all four seasons. Because it was a preseason friendly, it was mid rugby season, and we were very close that time to being homeless from Castleknock. The director of rugby was on the phone practically crying to us, what did you do to my pitch? And so, it was hard when we started.
So, we didn't do that. Look up to the sky, and that's who ruined your pitch. It wasn't us.
Yeah, so it was a very odd day, that Limerick day. So, another one where you're disappointed, you come away, you're like, could we have done something different? With your first score was going to win the game. Probably not throw the pass, but look, it's...
And then the other one is, of course, the infamous Mavericks game. The 12 men on the field. We've all seen the photo. We've all seen the video. And we can clearly hear, I think, almost every person on your sideline shouting, there's 12 guys, and still nothing was done about it. Sort of... First of all, again, your thoughts on that game and on especially that field goal. And then afterwards, did you receive anything from the league or from even the referees to apologize for the fact that, or acknowledge the fact, sorry, not even apologize, maybe acknowledge the fact that they did wrong?
Yeah, to be fair to the white cap on the day, he was the white cap again against the Crusaders. And he did come up to us to say, look, I got that wrong. sorry, blah, blah, blah. And to be fair, we probably should have called the timeout when we knew there was 12 guys on the field. But I suppose we had blocked, I think, two of their field goals at that stage. We weren't confident we were going to get to them, but we were also like the clock was winding down. You didn't want to stop the clock to give them a second chance to think about it or anything like that. So we let the clock run. Look, you made those decisions in the time. I suppose the lads were screaming 12 men. It is what it is. I suppose the other side of that is it was a game that was reffed by a member of the Crusaders and a member of us, because the TPOs didn't show on the day. So again, the players that were the refs were under strength at the time, which, you know, is not ideal either. Like, you know, the way the season has been condensed has been really difficult for referees, I think, without trying to get too political on it. But so, yeah. And then, you know, oftentimes you'll hear shouts of 12 men. I try not to get involved in shouting at referees these days, because, you know, as I'm assuming you all know, my brother at this point, he's got a good reputation for it. So, you know, I kind of try since taking on this position to stay out of it. But it's only when you see the picture then on the Monday, you're like, oh, what's 12 men? What can you do? You know, it's one of those things that happens. They happen in games. You get away with a false there, you get away with 12 minutes. It's one of those things. You know, next time we'll call the timeout and hopefully get the rub of the green. But,
We're going to move on to listeners' questions now in a second. But before we do, there's two names that on the team that we have to talk about. First of all, your left guard, I believe it is, Phil Boyd. I have to give Phil a shout out, because I knew Phil from his previous life as a professional wrestler.
It's still his current life.
But that's when I knew him back. So I have to give a shout out to Phil, and hopefully he's doing well. I had no idea that he was playing American football, let alone for the Rhinos, until I think it was your second game of the year this year. I was having a look at your obviously on your socials, you release your start and offense and defense, and then I saw the name Phil Boyd. And I was like, that's not that Phil Boyd, is it? And lo and behold, it was.
There he was. Yeah, he's in a second year with us now. He came down last year, and he's taken to it like a duck to water. Like he's obviously from wrestling, he's got the strength and he's got the power to play the position. And he's a great guy as well. So, as you know yourself, like he's great to have around the team. So, but you know, the wrestling career is unbelievable. Like,
was there any comments made about his wrestling name though?
Is it the small package?
Yes. Mr. Small Package, I think.
Mr. Small Package. So I apologize for getting that wrong. Yeah, I only heard that after the Crusaders game, I decided to drink away my pain. And I went out and someone said it to me while I was out. Phil was with us and someone said it. I didn't realize that until then. So, yeah. I've heard it around the place, but I don't know.
And then we have to obviously acknowledge, because it was announced last week, your kicker punter Ross Bulger, he's accepted a course at Idaho State, so he'll be traveling over to play there. Fantastic news for Ross, and obviously for the Rhinos, and obviously for Irish American football in general as well. And you know, I think it was Ross's first year with you this year, and yeah, I say everyone at the team is delighted for him.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Ross is outrageously talented. He's also a really good guy. He came on board this year with no airs or graces, came on. Kind of in the back of his head, kind of knew he'd be visiting colleges at this stage. But, you know, he's taken to the sport unbelievably. He fit in really well with all the lads. You only have to look at the videos on socials of what he can do with a football. It's incredible. he has this kicking style that's just, I've never seen anything like it before, where, you know, you're kicking it and you're looking at the thing in the air and you're looking and it's going, oh, it's going to bounce backwards, and suddenly it's bouncing 15 yards forwards. Like, how'd you tell? But yeah, we're made up from it's an unbelievable opportunity for Irish lads to have that, I suppose, window to get in here. I think he'll do very well over there. I suppose there's videos floating around of a few coaches doubting him until they seen the kick. He can punt off both legs. He's done it for us. He's punted off both legs. He can field goal off both legs, which is even wilder. So brilliant for everyone involved.
Yeah, I've seen the video. The first time we went over to the States, and he did go with his left leg, and you just hear the coach just losing, which was fantastic. And I think was it Ross Patterson as well also got. An offer when he was over there, and then we also heard about Lopez Sanusi of the Trojans, who's in the NFL Academy now, who's actually getting a scholarship up there in Buffalo too. So a fantastic week last week for Irish American football. It can only get bigger and better as the years go on. But like I said, we're going to move on to the listeners' questions. Reen and Fionn, I sent them to you there, so we're going to share them out. Reen, just to make sure you're still alive, I'm going to let you go first on this one, make sure you haven't melted away. So you choose your one there, and ask away.
I'm going to start. Words, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Look, I'm good at being interviewed. I'm not good at interviewing. That's just the way it goes. I'm going to start at the start, Dara. I'm going to ask Joe Kinhan's question, who I believe was recently spotted in a Pirates jersey. I'm just putting that out there.
TBC to be confirmed.
Okay. Right. So he says, I mean, someone has surely brought up Circus Gate at this stage. Is Circus Gate what we're calling the 12 men on the field game? Is that?
No. That was a video that Crusaders brought out. But I'll let you, David.
Look, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. We deserve that video. We've had an unbelievable this defensive coach, John Lawler, on our sideline, and he was doing everything he could to put off the Crusaders. And when you get hit with a dagger like that in the last play, you just have to eat it. Look, you can't throw out that and not take the punishment at the end of it. It's put your hand out to get slapped. I don't think we're going to change John on the sideline. I think he's the exact same no matter what. There's never any badness in it. He thinks he does that what he can for the best of the club. But you know, he did play with the Crusaders at one point. He'd know Jordan. They did a good chat after the game. And you know, sure, look, it's all part. It's all fun. It's awful. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You see the video and you go, oh, well, sure, look. It's fun.
Look, David, it's part of it as well. They won't let us celebrate in the end zone. It's one thing that we still can't do to generate a bit of atmosphere at the game. Exactly. So, look, all for it.
As long as it's fun and it's not like, that was the right side. Look, that was the right side of fun for me. You know, you have to laugh at it. Yeah. I mean, Poor old John's taking a beating in the group over the last week. But look, you do these things, you take the punishment. So,
well, I've got the next question. You mentioned earlier you got some rookies getting some great game time. I might rephrase the question a little bit. The question is, who's your favorite rookie? But maybe if there's someone you think deserves a shout out in terms of either how far they've come along since that game won, or how quickly they've settled into the game for you here in your first year as head coach.
It's actually honestly quite hard to pick one, and that's not me being political here, because I suppose we brought in two brothers there, Sheamus and Keith Ashton, they've been outstanding. Well, I suppose Sheamus just played his first game against the Crusaders because he was one of the unlucky ones in a preseason friendly, and it's the first snap in American football. He managed to have a horrific injury, so he's only just back. But Keith's been unbelievable on offense. We've a guy at tight end there, Dylan Gladney, who came in and has just taken to the sports, just like he's always played it. We had a guy who's gone back to Germany there, Toby, who was unreal. I'm assuming the person who asked this question is going to be Jeremy, is it?
It's indeed, yeah.
Yeah. If Jeremy could stay fit, he'd be my favourite. So.
You hear it here first, Jeremy. Keep those legs warm afterwards, and you have a chance of making it in the coach's good books.
Tell him I'm sorry as well, because I love him. Yeah, no, Jeremy's been unreal, especially around the camp. He's always fun. He's running our socials as well, so he's the man responsible for the graphics you're seeing and that sort of thing. And he's somebody who seems to be involved, or he seems to get the news from the league way quicker than everybody else. He seems to be talking to every other team, and I don't understand how he's done it, but I kind of guessed it was him who was asking, but we brought in an unbelievable, I suppose, rookie class this year, but you know, we had a couple of experienced guys who joined us who played in Ireland, like Steve Connor as well, who's been unbelievable, and then we've Damon on defense, who he's the only person who's ever said to me, you know, I'll be late to the game on Sunday. I'm getting an X-ray on this broken wrist. I was like, so you're out on Sunday? Why would I be out on Sunday? All right, cool. You do you. it's been a fun year. Been a fun year overall.
Very good. Jeremy came back with a second question as well.
Of course he
did. And he did say, do you have the AFI script? And if yes, are we coming back from 2-5 to win the bowl?
Oh, I can't tell him. I do have the script, but I can't tell him. He'd only get too excited. Just tell him it's a great script. That's all he needs to know. It's a great script. Might not be great for us, but it's a great script.
Certainly gave you plenty of nail biters now the last couple of chapters, so hopefully the nail biters will continue.
I'd really like to stay out of a nail biter. It's you know,
have a blowout win would be nice.
50 nil win would be nice. Yeah,
like to have a game done by half time. Like I'm watching the ticker go by there, and you know, it was 58-0 against the Jets. Even that at halftime wasn't really as comfortable as we could. We still made mistakes in the first quarter half. You know, like, and the Razorbacks at 24-0. We scored on the last play of the first half to make it 7-0. So you know, they like to upset me.
Get your heart rate up a little bit first before they give you the payoff.
So I do have the script. No, Jeremy, you're not finding out what's happening. Turn up and I'll tell you.
There's actually another question here that delves a little bit into conspiracy. It says, I can't imagine he'd answer this, but were they pushed to give Ross more chances at punts and field goals? I don't know who they are. Maybe the AFI. Maybe it was...
No, we were pushed by nobody. I suppose the one play where we did give, like, at the time, Ross was rightly trying to get video. The only time we ever did anything was at the end of the Jets game. He wanted to take a longer field goal. So I think we took a field goal on second down that time, but we weren't forced by anybody. And I probably wouldn't tell you if we were, but I can tell you now, we definitely weren't. There was nobody in our ear. When Ross joined us, he literally came in and told us, I'm here to play. I'm here to do what I can. You know, like there were games where, you know, I think in the Jets game, I'm not even sure he got a punt, and he had people there trying to video him. I'm not entirely sure he got a punt at all that day. So no, definitely not. I hope not.
We got another question in wondering if, based on the three teams that are already in the playoffs, you guys have obviously, as we mentioned, played all three of them. Is there a player off each of the teams, or that you would? The question is, would you have them on your team? But maybe we'll rephrase it and say, is there a standout player for each of those teams that struck you when you played them during the regular season?
Oh yeah, there's a standout player in every team. But I suppose with Limerick are an unbelievable team, and they're very deep in terms of what they can bring off the bench. So you know, you'd be hard pressed to pick out that their quarterback obviously is a very shifty guy. I suppose the first game especially, where you know there was two. Where we had him in 4th and 10 situations and he still got out of them. So that's like still a frustration, but he got out of them out of great play. The Mavs were just a very, very solid team. I think against us they had 22 or 23 guys, but they had 22 or 23 very good guys who you know knew what they were doing, done their job. Again, you'd be hard pressed. That obviously, again, you know, you don't want to be too quarterback centric, but the quarterback is very good. And then I suppose with the Crusaders, you know, again, the quarterback is brilliant. The team is very good. But they had a wide receiver. I suppose the two wide receivers on the day in the second game. But in the first day, I can't remember his name. But he was number 80. The first day. Piece us apart. So yeah, like obviously you'd look around other teams and think, yeah, I'd have him, but you know, we've got good talent as well. I suppose I have to be political, especially Jeremy. Jeremy's great.
We got one from Connor Keighley as well. A bit of a two-parter here. How do you keep the team motivated when they're playing some of the best football in the division, but not coming away with as many wins as you feel you should have? And then also he says, what's the X factor the Rhinos are looking to find to help close out those close games?
If I could answer the second question, I'd be able to sleep a lot easier at night right now. I suppose all you can do really with the lads is reinforce them that they are playing very good football. I suppose I was talking to my coaches the other day and were bemoaning the fact that, you know, a few years ago we were the team that were scoring last minute field goals to break the hearts of a couple of teams, and somehow we've now ended up on the other side of that. And, you know, you just have to take that. But again, all you can do with the lads is reinforce it. Look, keep playing the way you're playing. It'll eventually come. It'll eventually happen for you. What's the X factor, I suppose? If you look at the scores, if taking the Jets game out, we need to put more points on the board, and it's not helped obviously by our quarterback being in a sling at the moment. But that's football. That's part of it. It's sort of on us as coaches to find the answer to that. And you know, hopefully we find the answer on Sunday. If not, we're gonna have a very long summer. So.
Actually, we do have one more that I should ask. Chris McGee asks, this is actually a good one. How much money was spent upgrading the upgrading Castle Knock for the latter part of the season? I'm guessing in relation to the Vikings.
We just bought the sun. It was just easy for us, just bringing the sun. Our pitch is great. To be fair, the day they came down, the pitch was woeful. It wasn't cut like that. That used to be the nicest pitch in the country, and then you know we tore it up, and suddenly it's nice again. So, they were quite upset with our pitch. All I can say to them is it did trip up one of our players as he was running to the end zone. So, yeah. Poor old Paddy had 50 yards of space in front of him and managed to get tripped up by the grass. So, you know.
Look, that's the thing. You both have to play on it. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. We're going to wrap up the last part of the show here, and that is going to be our picks for the weekend. And, of course, David, you came on the show when there is 6 games on this Sunday.
Ah, great.
When is there 6 games on a Sunday in this league? There's never 6 games on. of course there has to be loads.
Incredible. We'll do a whistle. Right, Rian, you never shut up, right? So I just want quick, snappy answers out of you as along, right?
Right, okay. So we'll start in the Premier Division. Now, there is a few scenarios that I have to bring up in this before you make your choices, because the Trojans are facing the Panthers, and this is basically for fourth place and that final playoff spot in the Premier Division. The Trojans are ahead of the Panthers now at the moment. But if the Panthers win, obviously they go level on points and they'll have the head-to-head record heading into their final games next week. But we will start, first of all, with UCD against the Knights. The Knights sealed survival last week against the Cowboys. UCD are looking to make sure that they can secure second spot and get a home playoff as well. David, since you're the guest, I'll let you go first on this one. UCD or Belfast Knights?
I think it'd be hard pressed to look past UCD for this one. You know, they probably haven't had the season they expected, but they're still a very, very strong team. And you know, the Knights managed to achieve what they needed to do last week. So it'd be very hard pressed to look past the UCD for this one.
Ray?
Right, I'll jump in. He speaks so fast now, he's just refusing to speak altogether now that I slagged him.
My internet dropped out totally. I didn't hear anything of what David said.
You've been so still this whole show that we couldn't tell.
Yeah, I've been frozen for the whole thing. I think Aaron Mooney's playing some good football at quarterback down there at UCD. Like David said, it's going to be hard to look past UCD in this game. I'm taking UCD.
Knights did what they needed to do in a underperforming season for them by staying up. I think UCD are playing good football. I'm going to take UCD as well.
Yeah, it was actually a really good win they had last week against the Cowboys. Congratulations to them. Commiserations to the Cowboys, who are going to be dropping into Division 1 next year. But yeah, I'm going to go for UCD on this one as well. The Admirals have slowed down a little bit. They barely got through that game against the Minotaurs last week. So I think UCD win this to get on to second spot and get that home semi-final. The Rebels at home to the Minotaurs. The Rebels seem unstoppable at the moment. They have this game and then they have the Trojans games left. I think if they win this game, they seal first spot as well. So, Rain, I'll go with you first on this one.
Yeah, I'm not going to rock the boat on this one. The Rebels have been a juggernaut all season and I don't see it stopping now. So I'm taking the Rebels and I'm taking them by a cricket score.
John, tough end to the season for the Minotaurs. As Rain alluded to earlier, we spent some time with Joe there at the Flag Football over the weekend. But look, they're going to stay up. They don't really have anything to play for other than pride. And the Rebels have been unstoppable. So I'm going to take the Rebels as well on that.
Yeah, David?
Yeah, I can't argue with the lads here. You know, it's the Rebels are playing some unbelievable football and they're driving over very, very good teams. So the Rebels definitely.
Yeah. Gonna go with the Rebels as well. Clean sweep. I can't see them losing this game at home to the Minotaurs like that. The Minotaurs are safe. They can't make it to the playoffs. It's not much there to play for other than pride. But one thing to look out for in this game is some very, very attractive sideline officials that are going to be at that game.
hint, hint, it's so Dara.
Hint, hint, it is Dara. And then one unattractive one in Fionn. But moving on then to probably the biggest game in the Premier Division. That is, of course, like I mentioned, the Trojans at home to the Panthers, battling for that fourth place. Fionn, I'll let you go first on this one.
Yeah, we had a nice interview with Finn there a few weeks ago. Now, at this point, he convinced us that they were really unfairly given a very difficult run in. So I think given his argued strength of schedule versus the Trojans, I am going to say the Panthers are going to win this game and make it to the playoffs.
Okay. David?
I'm going to go against Fionn here. I think that the Trojans will just have enough to over the Panthers. I think it's going to be a great game. It's, unfortunately, we'll be up in Derry. You won't be able to get up and see it. But if you were looking for a decent game, that's the one. That's going to be it. That's going to be close. I wouldn't be surprised by either result, but I'll take the Trojans just.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call. The Trojans have been coming on slowly throughout the season. They had that little slow start to begin with, but have started winning games now. But I mean, we do, as the Under Center podcast, have a horse in the race in this one with Rob Marr playing for the Panthers. So I'm going to stick with our boy and I'm going to take the Panthers in this one.
Good call. I think I'm going to have to side with David on this one. It pains me to go against Rob and the Panthers, but obviously numbers were a big issue against UCD, and UCD stomped all over them, especially in the first half. Then you were going up to Belfast against the Trojans at home. They always play well at home, and I don't know, have you seen videos of the Trojans running back this season? He has been a man that size should not be able to run the way he runs.
Yeah, he's a big lad and he moves quick.
He's a big lad, he moves quick, and he can juke, and he gets like that guy is going to do some damage, I think, at the weekend. I think Muhammad is his name. I think he can be the difference maker in this. And I think I'm gonna go with a Trojans win. And the Panthers will just miss out on the playoffs. Something that, if they do miss out on the playoffs, they shouldn't be obviously disappointed, but not overly disappointed by, because I think that a lot of people wrote them off at the start of the year, just down to numbers wise, and the fact that they have been able to get these wins and still be challenging for the playoffs has been brilliant. Now they get to go in the offseason, recruit more players, get some more players from the U team and maybe their flag team in, and then start making a proper crack at it again in the Premier Division. But that's it. But for this week in general, I'm just going to say the Trojans to win. Division One. We'll get the game that has no bearing on yourself, David, out of the way, and that's the Crusaders and the Vikings. I'm going to go with the Vikings to keep their perfect record this year. I think they'll finish the year 8-0, go into the playoffs as the number one seed. I think they're guaranteed number one seed anyway, either way. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Vikings win on this one. Fionn?
Yeah, I think at the end of the season, you don't go against juggernauts like the Rebels in the Premier Division. I think we're going to take the Vikings on this one.
Yeah, there's not much more to be said from my side, so I'm going to go and stick with UL on this one.
I think this is going to be tighter than people think. Both teams can't improve their position here. So it's pressure off football. I think that the Vikings will win it, but again, much like the Trojans, I think it's going to be just, they're just going to win it. So
Okay. So then we will go to, Mavericks versus Razorbacks. I'll go with Rean first on this one.
Yeah, I mean, the Mavericks have been brilliant all season. They've been putting up big numbers. And it's probably nice to see for David that they put up that absolute cricket score in the previous game against the Razorbacks. So I'm going to back them to do it again. I think it's going to be maybe not as big of a difference this time round, but somewhere in around 30 points for the Loud Boys on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? It's a small numbered Loud team against an absolutely ginormous Razorback squad at the moment. But I'm gonna take Loud to do it as well. We, in honor of our guests as well, we'd like to see the Rhinos make the playoffs. They obviously kept it super tight as well when they did. So I know it'd go 1-4, 2-3, but I think they'd be happy enough to see the Crusade or the Mavericks again if they do cross paths in the playoffs at some point. I think they'll fancy their chances. So, yeah, let's go with the Loud Mavericks in this one.
I have to back the Mavericks, don't I? I do think it's going to be a lot closer than the last one. The Razorbacks are getting better week on week. But I do I think that the Mavs will just have enough. I hope the Mavs will have enough here. But, you know, stranger things have happened and all that. So yeah. Pray to whatever God is there. So
yeah, I was at the Mavs last game against the Vikings a couple of weeks ago. And they made changes in that game that showed you that, I think, because they can't improve their position, they're trying out things. Yeah. Like that they had, what is it, their tight end, Declan Moverville. He was playing quarterback that for most of that game. And I think they had about 16, I think, that day as well. I'm starting to see similar things to last season with them, that they started off great despite the low numbers, because even though they're low numbers, they're very talented players, and they obviously can do their thing. As the season wars on, fatigue sets in, injury sets in. It happened last year when he ends up losing the bowl. I am terrified that it could happen in this game, especially if there isn't a chance of a chap carrying an injury, they'll take him out. I don't know. Like, I don't want to upset our guest. I'm sorry.
I'm fine with it because I called that to the lads before the Crusaders game. Crusaders game for me was must win to get ourselves out of this position, because that game is going to be tight on Sunday. The Razorbacks are coming down to pick a playoff spot against a team that don't have anything to play for. So it's a bit. Yeah,
it's also the shortest of the trips down south that they could have had.
Yeah, that's very, very true too. Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna have to go with a very close Razorbacks win. And I'm very sorry about that, David. I am, but I just find myself blocked after this now. After you get off the recording, but So the last game then, of course, is your Dublin Rhinos traveling up to Derry to take on the Vipers. I will go first on this one. I say it is going to be a comfortable win for you guys. I think Derry are at a crossroads. They're going to have to sort of change some stuff in the offseason to get some new players in. But for this game as well, I think you guys are going to have a nice day up in Derry. Hopefully the weather's nice. The only thing I don't like about the fact going up there in Derry and playing is that you're always playing one way, which is shite. But other than that, that'll be the only thing to upset you on that day, hopefully. Fingers crossed. But Ryan?
Yeah, it's a funny thing about these must-win games. They never go as smoothly as they probably should. Like, based on squads, I think the Rhinos have it all day long. But, you know, when you get into those situations, it can be sometimes a little bit more difficult. Nerves affect you, that sort of thing. So I still am going to back the Rhinos to win it, but I don't think it's going to be a cricket score. I think there's going to be maybe a field goal in it, and I hope this time the Rhinos are on the good side of that field goal.
Look, I think I said what I said about the Mavericks game. I can't really turn around now, so I'm gonna stick and honor the guest and go, yeah, the Rhinos. I do, as you said, Ryan. I think squad to squad, I think they match up well. I think David will have a good game plan in place. Obviously, you haven't played them yet this season, have you?
It'll be
a new experience. But yeah, I'm going to stick with the Rhinos and honour the guest that we have this week.
I suppose I have to pick the Rhinos, don't I?
It would be a bit of anticlimactic if you didn't.
We've seen some coaches or some players come on and not go with their own team because they don't want to curse themselves, but we don't have the curse on this show. You're absolutely fine. You're good. You can pick the Rhinos and you'll be fine.
I'll have to pick us. We'll up there with a plan. We'll see how it goes. But look, if the plan is executed, I'd be fairly confident we'll win. But again, as Ryan said, all of that is very, very true. You just hope that the lads are locked in from minute one and push all the noise to one side.
Get your job done first and then see what happens after that.
Exactly.
Well, look, David, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck on Sunday, and hopefully results do go your way.
Thanks, you guys.
Do make it into the playoffs. Before we let you go, if anyone is watching and they're in the Castleknock area or they're in around the Blanchardstown area and like that, that are interested in picking up American football, what's the best way to get in contact with the Rhinos?
Through our Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter pages, any of them, just drop any of us a message. Or we're training down there every Sunday at 11 o'clock. Hopefully we have more training sessions this year, but you know, we might not after Sunday. But again, look, pick up our social media handles, get involved. We're always welcoming new talent down, new bodies. Anybody who wants to come down and try out, but we'll throw the arms wide open. So
excellent stuff. And like I said, this is where we're gonna wrap up this edition of the show. Rain, Fionn, as always, guys, thank you so much.
Been a pleasure. I'll see you on Sunday. Looking good on the far sideline, as I assume you will be. I'll have the best view in the house.
Hopefully. We'll see what sideline I'm on. I won't be a back judge. Definitely not. But before we go, if you haven't already, make sure you like this video if you're watching on YouTube. Comment underneath and let us know who do you think is making it into the playoffs in Division 1 this weekend. Is it going to be the Razorbacks? Is it going to be the Rhinos? Also, if you haven't already, subscribe to our channel on YouTube as well. Be kept up to date with all the latest shows, including our new show, our new series that's going to be coming soon, if you haven't seen it on our socials, about meeting all the women in the AFI, and from players to referees to people in the background. All the great women in the AFI that have helped grow this game in this country. Make sure you follow us on our socials as well, at UnderCenterPod on Twitter, at UnderCenterPod on Instagram as well. If you listen to us on the go on the podcast, UnderCenter Podcast, look it up, you'll find us. That's where you need to go. I believe that is all the stuff. So we'll wrap it up here. Thank you guys so much, and until next time, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.